As we do prepare to enter into a time of prayer, please take notice that we have two prayer quilts here. Please take time after the service to tie a knot, sign the card, and say a prayer for each one of them. And also take notice in your bulletin that we have a whole list of friends and family that are also in need of prayers. Now, please join me in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we seem to be just a small part of your amazing creation, yet you sent your one and only Son that we might be saved. He rode through waving palm branches and shouts of Hosanna on his way to Jerusalem. He was crucified and still prayed for our forgiveness as he died on the cross. Jesus bore the entire weight of sin for all to come. For that, give us those times that we still don't know what we're doing. There are days that our own burdens seem insurmountable, yet they are lighter because of what Jesus sacrificed for us. Jesus was reborn when he defeated death and rose again from the dead. He is risen, and his resurrection means that we can be reborn through him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for all who believe in him. Lord, we thank you for offering us this path to eternal life with you. We give thanks for being created as your children. We give thanks for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. We give thanks for being saved from a wilderness of sin. We give thanks for the Holy Spirit guiding us through a wilderness of temptation. Let our mouths utter words softly, like gently falling snow covering the earth, that we cloak others with kindness as our comments fall upon their ears. Help our ears to carry sounds like rivers of rushing water to the seas, that cries for help are taken directly to our hearts. May our eyes remain focused like sunbeams bringing light and warmth to the earth, that we see the need for warmth and light in our neighbors. Open our hearts for capacity beyond the walls of a Grand Canyon, that they overflow with goodness for everyone we contact. Guide us in daily study of Scripture as a roadmap for life, that we discern your will and follow a path that leads to you. In the midst of daily struggles, pounding like persistent waves hitting the shore, consider the concerns that we respectfully place at your feet in a moment of silence. Lord, you graciously listened to the request we presented for your review. You are with us now and with us always in times of joy and in times of sorrow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way Jesus leads us to you. Hear us now as we recite the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson comes to us from Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mothers of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Bruce. I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is in the tradition of the church that we have a special greeting on this Easter morning. It stretches all the way back to the first century of the church, when people would gather and greet each other any morning, especially the Sabbath morning. It was a greeting that was the hope for all people. And today, in hundreds of languages around the world, we share that greeting with the saints. We share it across our traditions, from Catholicism to Orthodox to our Protestant brothers and sisters. We share it with people who must whisper it quietly in places of oppression. And for those who shout it out loud because of the freedom that they have found in Christ, the greeting is, "He is risen." We respond, "He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed." This is our response when you go out today to your restaurants for your buffets. Be sure to say to the wait staff, "He is risen." Well, and see if they know what that means. And when you gather with family today, as they come through the door or you come through the door, make sure that you offer the greeting, "He is risen." It is what we do as an Easter people, as Christians, because we understand that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been set free from sin and death. They no longer have a hold on us. And that freedom allows us to live with a joy that is boundless, that goes beyond the burdens of this world, the things that we might believe trap us, and sets us free for living, as Jesus promised, an abundant life. And so today, if there's anything that we take away from this day, let it be that he has risen and we are set free. Now, I know that it might not always feel like that. Through the Lenten season here at Brighton First, we have been talking about the wildernesses of our lives. And you might name that big wilderness or that small wilderness in which you have traveled or are traveling. We've talked about denial and regret and temptation and struggle. And you might say, "My wilderness is grief. My wilderness is loss. My wilderness is purposelessness or lack of hope. My wilderness is fear or frustration or distraction or not enough time." You may have found whatever that particular wilderness is, and you can name it. And what we've learned over the Lenten season is that whatever our wilderness is, God abides. Now, as we listen to the story this morning of the women who went to the tomb, we find another set of people who are in great wilderness. These ladies have suffered a tremendous loss. Jesus, who promised to be with them, who gave them wisdom, who gave them hope for life, that God had come near, heaven had come near, had been turned in by one of their own. had not been defended by the disciples, had been sent through the mockery of a trial and killed on the cross. And now he lay in a grave that they would visit. And it was a wilderness early on that first Easter morning of great loss and suffering, grief and fear and purposelessness. Because why would they go on? What would they do? This wilderness had been forced on them by the death of Jesus. This wilderness was of great disappointment, and it seemed as if it would drag on forever. And even in this morning when they would receive good news, it appeared that they would not even be able to overcome the great fear and loss of wilderness to receive that news. The first hint that they understood that it was a great wilderness is as they moved toward the tomb, the women, they were asking themselves, who will roll away the stone? They already knew that they were up against something in going to prepare Jesus' body, that the losses had not ended. There was a fear that was prevalent, a fear that kept the disciples away, a fear of the Roman soldiers, a fear and disappointment for the religious leaders that had made sure that Jesus went to his death. There was a fear that even in this moment of trying to honor Jesus, that they would not be able to, in helplessness and in fear. Now, this may be something, a question that we can understand, because fear seems sometimes to be prevalent in our lives. You know, in the gospel readings, we think about the Easter resurrection as this great rejoicing time. But when you go and look at the four gospel accounts, the most prevalent emotion is fear. It's mentioned 8 times across those gospel stories. And so really, that's where they came, and that's what they were holding as they came close. And I think that it's something that we might be able to understand. Years ago, a bird flew into the garage, the Parsonage garage, and I was amazed. I was trying to figure out, how do you get this bird out? Because what the bird did was it flew through the big open door of a 2-car garage and began to beat itself against the windows. You can see that, can you imagine that happening? In fear, the bird saw freedom, saw it out there, and beat itself against the windows trying to get out when there was a huge door that the bird could go through and chose not to go. It's really interesting to me that we often get stuck in fear or even go toward those wildernesses in our lives rather than toward freedom. We're much like the bird who gets stuck and tries again against the windows. It's kind of like the movies. You know, just imagine, you know what I'm talking about. People tend to go toward fear. So there you are watching the movie, and there's a psychopath on the loose, you know, like one of those mask-wearing ones. And the innocent person is in the house and hears a noise. Now, any reasonable person, where would you go? Like outside carrying your phone, right? Like 911. There seems to be a psychopath here in the house. But what do they do in the movies? They go upstairs or they go to the basement, right? I mean, I've sat in the movies and said, what are you thinking? Like, why? It's like we go toward that place that we're going to be trapped. Or imagine those kind of movies where there's a hero or heroine and they're chasing the villain, and the villain goes into one of those industrial complexes. Picture it. You know, that kind of that blue shot through a blue light lens, and there's this twist of pipes and steam and a little bit of fire and churning gears and catwalks that seem to go nowhere. And what does the hero do? Runs right in after. And then in the midst of chasing and shooting, the gun jams, they drop the gun out of their slippery palm, and mayhem ensues. And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't you just stand by the door till they came out? Wouldn't that have made more sense? We tend to run toward that fear and stay locked there. We understand that the women felt that, and we understand that they were worried. You know, it's interesting in the Gospel of Mark, it says when they looked up, they saw that the stone was rolled away, which was a large stone. The Gospel of Mark is our shortest, most succinct gospel. And in that gospel, if it says anything, you have to pay attention to it. So here it says in Mark that there was a very large stone that was rolled away. Well, the large stone is not the obstacle of the day. I mean, the biggest obstacle, death itself, has been rolled away by Jesus Christ. But the obstacle for these women is not the stone, it's their fear, it's their disappointment, it's their hopelessness. It's that wilderness that keeps them blocked from the good news. So even as they approach the tomb, they find themselves stuck in wilderness. Even as they see that the tomb is empty, they find themselves stuck in wilderness. We can get into that loop as well. It's as if we're sitting on the couch. Maybe you've done this, and you sit down to watch TV with your 600 stations, and you start going through, boom, boom. No, actually, you guys don't do it. Your spouse does. Okay, so you're going like, boom. Boom. And you're going through and you're saying there's nothing on TV. And 15 minutes later, there's nothing on TV. There's nothing on TV. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like going to Facebook. You ever been trapped on Facebook? I mean, it's like there are no chains, but you're just there. And you're like, okay, that's the second dog video. And there's the cooking advice. And then, oh, that political stuff. And you're just kind of going through and you're trapped. You go online and you read the news and you get sucked into that column on the right or those headlines in the bottom. You know the ones I'm talking about. You know, the seven reasons why you should have a Brussels sprout a day. And, you know, those kinds of things. And so my niece Valerie writes for the Daily Mail. And she writes those headlines. She gets paid good money to write those headlines so that you will click there. So she thanks you today. But it's one of those places that we get stuck in and we find ourselves in the wilderness and we can't seem to back out. And so these women went to the tomb and they meet an angel. They meet an angel. And yet, they're still stuck. They can't believe what they're seeing. It is a wilderness in which we may find ourselves. Now, your wilderness may not be Facebook, and your wilderness may not be the TV, but the wilderness come in all kinds of forms. Your wilderness may be the headlines that disappoint and worry and bring fear, the sensationalism, the divisiveness that just hang heavy and offer hopelessness. The wilderness that we suffer may be something to do with relationships or even with our jobs that have us waking up in the morning exhausted and angry. Our wilderness might have to do with our health, where we say, I thought at this age that I would just feel a little bit better. Or those commitments we made in January around diet and exercise that seem to have fallen away, and we find ourselves in a wilderness. And we find also that we're like that bird hitting against the window saying, you know, if only. If only people would have my values, like wake up and have my values. If people would only be nicer to each other, if I only had a little more time in my life, if I only had a little bit more resource, if I only had a good night's sleep, if I only had this, if I only did this, if the world only did this, then I would be set free. And in the middle of it, there is a door wide open. It is the empty tomb. We believe it with our heads, but are we willing to take it into our hearts? Or is there still a stone rolled against that door? We can stand here and not be affected at all. It kind of happened to the women, didn't it? What a surprising way for the gospel to end. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. You know, this is the ending of the gospel. There is no more. Now later, writers tried to add some more on because they felt so uncomfortable with this ending. But this is a place where we can understand. They left that tomb, and they left in shock. And they remain silent. Now, I think we have choices today. One of the choices is that we can leave the stone against the tomb. We can stay in our wildernesses. And while we may know in our head that Jesus lives, we come into this celebration of Jesus' resurrection and we say things like, yeah, nice music. It's okay. Yeah. We say, you know, preacher, not bad, except you can't, you know, button or top. It's all crooked. We go home and we say, you know, we got some grass and Easter basket and the chocolate, whatever thing you like. We might even say, you know, it's going to be a good day. The sun's kind of shining, and I'm going to get the cheesy potatoes, right? You know, I'm going to get the ham and the homemade rolls or whatever it is, and I'm going to enjoy myself today with family, and we're out for a good meal. And so, you know, Easter's not bad. And if that's the case, the stone's still there, but we have another choice. And that choice is to be set free from whatever wilderness that we live in. Now, that doesn't mean that the wildernesses go away, no. It doesn't mean that there aren't struggles in this life and disappointments and loss and grief, and all of those things are very real, and we can still be frustrated by what is happening in the world. But the truth of it is that the wilderness has been filled now with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think it is so cool that when the angel talks to the women at the tomb, he doesn't say Jesus has gone up to heaven. What he says Jesus has gone ahead of you and he will meet you in Galilee. Now, sometimes we come here, and please hear this. We come and we say, you know, great, you know, he's risen. It means that we're promised the heavenly home, and the people that we love who have died, we can picture them up there. And then when we die, we're going to get, you know, the white gown and that like garland, Christmas tree garland thing on our heads. And we're gonna be the angels in the heaven, and that is what this whole resurrection thing is about. And sure it is, but it's more than that. Jesus didn't say, I'll meet you in heaven. Jesus said, I'm going before you. I'm going to Galilee. What the angel said to the women about Jesus is that he was going back to their homes. He was going back to the commonplaces of their lives, and he would meet them there. This is the empty tomb. This is the good news. Jesus is risen, and it is a new life for all of us beginning now. Jesus is alive, and we have a new way of thinking about death. Jesus is alive, and we have a new way of thinking about life. And the way we mourn, he is risen. And the way that we hope, he is risen. And the way that we love, he is risen. And the way that we endure, he has risen. We have an opportunity now to come to the communion table. Now, I know, a lot of times you think about communion because as a remembrance of Jesus' Last Supper, we kind of drag ourselves up. Jesus died for us. You know, we get our piece of bread, we're all very sad. And I understand because that's part of the remembrance. But this is the other thing that I invite you to remember, is that we would not have communion if it were not for Easter. We are here celebrating because Christ is alive. And so I invite you, as you stand to come forward for communion, to imagine that you are at the empty tomb at the door. Imagine that you're going to rise up and you're going to step through it into the rest of your life. And the first thing that we're going to do together is celebrate what Christ has done for us. And so we invite all to the table. I'm going to invite Pastor Bob up to join me. In the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is the table of Jesus Christ. You do not need to be a member of this church nor any church, but simply desire to celebrate the life, the death, and the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. You are welcome to the table. Here, what we do, there's a basket of bread. You take a piece of bread, and you dip it into grape juice and eat that. And we do have a few kneelers placed out if you want to take a moment. There will be 4 stations to come to communion. I will also be holding gluten-free communion, so you can have that. And so when we're done with our consecration prayer, the ushers will guide you forward. Let's begin with a prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that at times we do not share in the joy of the resurrection, but are caught in the worries of the world. We desire to live in the spirit of new life and shed our discontent and anxieties. Forgive us for not sharing in the good news. Forgive us when we find it more comfortable to worry and complain than to risk the joy of new life in Christ. Call us back to your ways, O God, to seek hope and reconciliation, restoration, and peace. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Hear this good news. Christ is risen. The stone is rolled away, the tomb found empty. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. God loves us and desires great joy for our lives. Amen.
Lift up your hearts and give thanks to the Lord our God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. By your great mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. Christ has called us out of darkness into his amazing, marvelous light. On the night he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, all of you. This is my body broken for you. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Christ took the cup and he gave thanks to you and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.